China.
Second-tier cities. The bright side of China. 8 great cities embody growth, optimism, and the good life.
Nearly 12 million students will graduate from Chinese universities this month. Where they go after that is increasingly difficult to predict. For decades, graduates were drawn to the same 4 cities: Beijing, the capital, Shanghai, a financial hub, Shenzhen, a tech centre, and Guangzhou, an export powerhouse. There were opportunities in these places. Their economic heft exceeded that of other Chinese cities. Their public services were better too. And they were huge, with populations that now range from 13 million, Shenzhen, to 26 million, Shanghai. As a result, they were dubbed first-tier cities. Chinese flocked to them. Now, though, a large number of graduates are looking beyond the top tier. In recent years, China's lesser-known cities have proved more magnetic. These rising metropolises come from the ranks of the second tier. There are 31 cities on this level, according to the government, which sorts them based on criteria like population and income level. Not all are thriving, but many stand out for their dynamism, culture and quality of life. Some are developing in ways that other Chinese cities might emulate. The list of risers includes places from across China. In the West, Xi'an, Chengdu and Chongqing are attracting young tech workers and social media influencers. In the centre, Wuhan, Hefei and Changsha are home to entertainment companies and electric vehicle manufacturers. Nanjing and Hangzhou in the Yangtze River Delta feature venture capital firms and startups. Some people refer to these places, and others, as new first-tier or 1.5-tier cities. But we'll call them the Great Eight, a group that's gaining ground on the flagging 4 of old. These 8 tend to have fewer people than the 4 behemoths, but their populations are growing faster. China's overall birth rate has fallen to below replacement level, which means its population of 1.4 billion is shrinking. The number of people in first-tier cities has grown by just 1.7% on average over the past 4 years. In the Great Eight, there was growth of 18%. These cities are already giants by Western standards, with an average population of around 10 million. While some of their new inhabitants come from rural areas, many migrate from other cities. A recent survey by Zhaopin, a recruitment company, found that white-collar workers preferred leading second-tier cities to bigger or smaller alternatives. One reason is the infrastructure, which is already high quality and improving. Dotted with skyscrapers, these cities feature 4 of the 10 tallest buildings under construction worldwide. Over the past 5 years, the total length of their subway networks has doubled. As Beijing and Shanghai grew, in some ways they became less welcoming to outsiders. Both cities strictly enforced China's hukou system of household registration, excluding non-locals from schools and city pension schemes. Even if newcomers could settle down, they'd have trouble affording a home. In first-tier cities, median house prices are typically 30 to 40 times higher than median incomes. In contrast, most second-tier cities have flung open their doors by largely scrapping hukou restrictions. They even offer incentives to come. Changsha is giving national top talents a 1.5 million yuan, that's $200,000, reward to move there. Hangzhou is offering startup founders with PhDs up to 15 million yuan in funding. Those who don't qualify for such payments may still see a financial benefit in moving to the second tier, where housing is much more affordable. This new migratory flow has coincided with changing attitudes among young Chinese. Salaries tend to be higher in Beijing and Shanghai, but these days many youngsters are prioritising quality of life. Whereas first-tier cities have become associated with the 996 culture, meaning a work schedule of 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week, jobs in leading second-tier cities tend to offer a better work-life balance. Just ask Gong Zhenghua, a young tech worker who moved to Chengdu after years in Guangzhou and Shanghai. His new home offers shady tree-lined canals and spicy hot pot restaurants. His wages are lower, but he can afford to rent an apartment that is 3 times bigger than his previous one. He's enjoying life more. Mr. Gong hopes to buy a house and start a family soon, goals which seemed unfeasible in the first-tier cities. Whereas Mr. Gong had to move in order to improve his life, others are simply staying put. Cities from the Great Eight often top rankings of stickiness for university graduates, or the proportion who choose to work in the city where they studied. That in turn adds to these cities' dynamism. All of them have universities that rank in the top 5% in China. The Great Eight account for about a tenth of China's GDP, which grew at an average annual rate of 6% over the past decade. The growth rate in first-tier cities was about that too. But the leading second-tier cities sped ahead. Their economies grew by 7.2% per year on average. Hefei is sometimes seen as having established a model for second-tier cities, using a mix of local government investment, industrial policy and private sector encouragement. It's cultivated industries like high-end manufacturing, electric vehicles or EVs, biotech and semiconductors. Being home to the University of Science and Technology of China, USTC, the country's top tech college, as well as other good schools, has also helped. The local government draws on this pool of talent. It's stocked with engineering and science graduates. Volkswagen, a German car maker, has praised the business environment. It already has two manufacturing plants in the city. Now it's spending another $2.7 billion to expand its innovation centre in Hefei to further its EV ambitions in China. Hefei's state capitalists have shown unusual daring in their investments. That's something other cities might copy. Indeed, some in the Great Eight are doing similar things. Nanjing, for example, has focused on technology firms, poaching many that have left Beijing in recent years. It lures them with good infrastructure and generous subsidies. Both it and Hefei have fast-growing venture capital sectors. Other members of the Great Eight are charting their own course. One such city is Chengdu. Economists often criticise China for relying too much on manufacturing and not rebalancing towards higher value services and consumption. China's leaders, who like factories, tend to ignore such advice. But Chengdu has embraced it. Over the past decade, the service sector's share of GDP in the city has risen from 50% to 68%. The national average is 55%. Chengdu's service firms are growing more than twice as fast as its manufacturing ones. It is a showcase for how China's cities can build a more balanced economy, says Robin Jing of Morgan Stanley, a bank. Cultivating the softer side of the economy also has cultural benefits. Chengdu's music industry is booming thanks to a thriving hip-hop scene and government support. Officials have a five-year plan for the industry, which they hope will be worth 100 billion yuan by 2025. The city also attracts throngs of tourists and internet celebrities who film themselves eating, drinking and dancing. When your correspondent visited Chengdu's Bar District, strictly for the purpose of reporting, it was far busier than the most popular drinking area in Beijing. A number of cities in the Great Eight have a more liberal vibe than those elsewhere in China. But they also have disadvantages. Being inland, they'll always struggle to attract more investment than China's coastal cities. Exporters are more likely to build factories near ports. Most of those in the second tier are also still behind in the services they offer. Some businessmen complain that the officials on the other end of government hotlines in second-tier cities are less responsive than those in the first tier. Executives would still rather send their children to school in Beijing or Shanghai. In order to continue their ascent, the Great Eight must keep investing wisely in themselves. Tianjin offers a cautionary tale of how it could all go wrong. The once vibrant city near Beijing has a busy port and good universities. But corrupt officials wasted funds on a new financial district and a high-tech zone, both of which remained empty for years. Rising labour costs took away its advantage in manufacturing. Since 2017, Tianjin Municipality has gone from being China's sixth biggest city by GDP to its 11th. Its population is shrinking. The Great Eight have come a long way, but there's no guarantee that they'll continue to rise.